I will tell you that the internal stuff, and for you listening, like the internal work is where it's at. And so even like when I entered, and I'm never afraid to talk about it, like when I entered therapy years ago, I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know, like, is this going to be a good therapist or bad therapist? Or I didn't freaking know. I don't know if
Oh,
have you ever
yeah.
done it?
And it was burnout with dentistry that brought me to therapy.
Welcome to the Stress of Smiles podcast. This is where we uncover hidden pressures behind practicing dentistry. I'm your host, Dr. Frank Caputo, and I'm here to guide you through some real stories, expert advice, and actionable strategies for overcoming burnout in the dental world. In this pilot episode, I'm joined by Dr. Z Sun. Her and I will share our personal journeys and experiences with burnout. If there's anything in this podcast that resonates with you, please take a moment to leave a 5-star review. So, without further ado, let's dive into episode one, The Stress of Smiles. All right. So, we haven't even begun until now. All right. This is our pilot episode of The Stress of Smiles. Burnout's a bitch. And that's exactly the topic of tonight's conversation. So, I want to introduce you to, and I don't know if I should call you like a co-host, a very frequent guest, a, I don't
Whatever
know,
title, whatever
but this
title
is
feels right.
Dr. Z Sun. She practices in beautiful Gold Coast, Australia as a dentist. And tonight she's going to be joining our conversation, and hopefully a few points here and there might resonate with you. So, let's jump in. We've got quite a bit I want to try to get through today, but if not, we'll go on to the next episode. But I want to talk about kind of the main thing about this, the stress of smiles. Like, it's
Yeah.
stressful. And when we go on, if I go on any social media outlet, like if I go on the secret or private Facebook pages of dentists, like the Business of Dentistry, or even like Nachos or whatever it might be, it's almost weekly. You'll find a dentist who's like, "Hey, I'm 3 years out. I'm saddled with $700,000 in debt, and I really hate this job. And I think I'm burning out." And they've been practicing for like, I don't know, a year or
Yeah.
two. And at first I was like, oh, come on. But now, like years ago, but now I'm really starting to see this, like, it's a really common thing. And I'll talk about a little bit about, my struggles with burnout for sure. But this is kind of a big topic that's coming up. And I think the more and more we talk about it and help to, I guess, talk about some strategies, I think it's going to be
Yeah.
beneficial. So, Z, I was telling you the other day or last night, I was like, all right, it's kind of like the stresses are like a bunch of piano keys. And it's like every day we go into the office, the stressors, is it just like a kid's song, like a couple of little tip taps? Or are we playing like full on chords in our practice of just like stressors?
Stress. Yeah.
Yes. It's like every day's a little bit different, but when you're getting closer and closer to the sun, and burning out, I mean, have you ever, how long have you been practicing?
So I've been practicing for 7 years. This will be almost the end of my 7th year, and I am a general dentist. So, yeah.
Okay. Have you brushed
Oh,
with burnout?
yeah. Have I brushed with
Oh,
burnout?
yeah.
Me and burnout, we've become close at times. We've really gotten to know each other. I would say brush would be putting it very lightly. So, yes.
Okay. So you've like
Oh, yeah.
Burned out.
Like, it was probably a gradual thing. And, you know, to bring it back to the piano analogy, it kind of crescendoed and peaked. And then, you know, I have been able to get over the burnout and make a lot of changes. And now I can go to work and be a dentist without feeling burnt out. But that has been a journey.
So, well, what makes it, what do you mean by the journey?
Well, it's taken a lot for me to be able to get over the burnout, but then also to be able to, like you say, realize what specific stresses burn me out the most and kind of turn the dial down on those.
So having like that self-awareness, that kind of having a little bit more control or a little more power.
Yeah.
Over those little seasons. So it's happened more than once. It's happened more than once to me too. And I guess if I were to define burnout for me, it's like, you know, the monologue plays in your head. I'm done. I don't know how much longer I can do this.
Oh yeah.
You start like Googling like, how do I get out of this
You're
profession?
On the Reddit page. How do I? Looking at other dentists that have left. Yeah. Are they like, happy?
Right. Are they unhappy? Are they able to pay their debt? Are they? And I love that we're talking about this with like just big smiles on our face. Like, tell me about the most depressive time you've had in your career. And it's like, but we do it. I think it's because, you know, now versus then, like when you're in the season or in that time, it's so debilitating sometimes to be like, it's hard. Like you wake up and you're like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that.
Exactly.
What do I have on the schedule? Oh God, it's this patient. And my staff is so-and-so called in sick. And it's always, I feel like in our job, especially like, it's always, there's momentum building to this moment. Like there's always something. And there's team stuff and there's patient stuff and things aren't going right. And also you're trying really hard and people pleaser mode is totally activated. And then when you're not pleasing, you're like, oh my God, I'm not even good at this anymore.
That's a big one
and
as well.
It ends up being,
that internal battle, that for me was a big one. Like I would have, I don't know if you've had the same type of experience, but it kind of comes in waves. And sometimes you are having a good run and everything goes right. And you're like, oh my God, you know, maybe I can keep doing this. You know, I'm getting into the flow a bit. And then everything, like all the things you were talking about, the staff, things don't fit, difficult patients, you know, running late all the time, that'll all happen in one go. And then you'll just come crashing down and you're like, back to the Reddit page. I'm done.
What is on the Reddit page? Like, what do you find on there?
I think exactly what you were saying at the start, all the dentists that are like, I don't think I can do this. I want to leave dentistry. I hate it. And just looking for examples of people who have been able to leave successfully. Because sometimes it feels like a pipe dream.
Absolutely. So if you were to leave, though, like if someone was considering leaving dentistry and actually left, I sense if they were going to be successful, they've had to do, and I don't know if you're in this position or not, but like a ton of internal work first.
Yep.
Prior to departing dentistry. Because if you didn't do the internal work, and we'll go over a little bit about like, well, what does internal work even mean? I mean, you know this more than I know.
I don't know about that.
Like, you might, but like, if you're not doing that internal work and you're like, I'll just go and do this, I feel like if you're miserable in this job and you haven't done any work, what are the chances you're going to be miserable in the next job? And this is a, but having do the work and then having like those authentic realizations like, oh my gosh, I'm going to thrive in this because this lights me up way more than dentistry ever did. then you'll thrive.
100%.
So it's interesting. 100%. So 7 years into practice, several just light touches with burnout. Just kidding. And what are your thoughts? What do you want to do?
I mean, I really struggled at the start. So I think my experience as a new grad, really, the burnout was really hard after that experience. And I think it was just the sunk cost fallacy for a long time. It was like, I've put so much into this, you know, maybe I can try learn Invisalign or implants, or, you know, maybe I want to specialize as a perio. And I think that was in the back for a long time, being like, I think I said to myself, I'll give it 5 years to be sure that I want to leave before really even attempting to leave. And now we're at 7 years and we are sure. And even, I'm sure.
You're sure.
I'm sure. But what you were saying about the internal work, I think that that is hugely relevant, because I think in dentistry or people in these type of professions, we think that we can only step into similar professions to be able to continue maybe making a similar amount of money, or it's kind of just what we know. And I don't think, I mean, this is personal for me, so maybe this doesn't resonate with other dentists, but I couldn't imagine myself doing something completely different or completely creative or just some, no, I could not. And I think that's where the internal work was important to me. I think I would have just continued the patterns of, and that's what I did. I started another degree, like do more study, you know, learn a lot about a certain topic. And it's just repeating what you know. And then maybe being in another environment that is pretty high stress. And yeah, so I think that's exactly right. Like, I think for anyone who does know that they want to leave dentistry, I think that's something to be super wary of, that maybe you are just changing, you know, externally what that looks like, the field, but you might be repeating and going into the same environment with the same stresses and burn out again.
And you just get burned out again and you're like, I want to go back and do dentistry.
And it can just be a vicious cycle. Yeah. So, I mean, that's.
Well, there's no doubt that, like, so I'll give you a little bit of background. I practiced straight up like general dentistry for a number of years. And then I moved into, like, I always enjoyed dental surgery and I always enjoyed complex prosthetics. So it started off as I'm doing general dentistry, but then, like, I realized the cases I had that were like complex prosto or some really like good, great opportunities to practice like my surgical skills. That lit me up. I was a whole different human. Walked in the door. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm bouncing off the walls. Like, it's an implant day or whatever. Even before implants, it was, I'm just taking out teeth. I'm edentulating someone. Just
full clearance.
So
let's
lit
go.
Up. And then after, after a few years of that, I was like, time out, dude. Like, this is telling you something. And then I started getting into more and more training and a fellowship and all this stuff to learn how to do more rehabilitative dentistry, which lights me up. So a decade later into my career, I'm like, all right, you need to do what makes you feel that feeling of like pure, like, oh my gosh, this is all I want to do. So when I left doing general dentistry and transitioned into it's an implantology only practice, right? So it's all we do is we meet people that have, you know, terminal dentition, we, you know, edentulate and replace with whatever options. Well, most of the time it's with implants, but that shit makes me so happy. And it's riddled with challenges that it's like a puzzle. And so that's where I thrive at. But where I really thrive is the surgical component, because, you know, and that's when the only times with work I've ever actually entered in that pure like flow state where my brain is like, I'm in like a trance, is when I've got like 4 hours, the patient's intubated on my table.
Everything's just melting away.
I'm like, music is going. I don't even know, like my hands are just doing just it.
In the zone.
And it's like an art project. Like you ever just like zone out painting or something? Like that's where I'm at in my head. And I'm just like, I'm going to make this so fucking perfect. And that's where I zone out. Where I struggle is like the people pleasing, the human interactions, the, you know, so-and-so Mrs. Smith calls again. And, you know, she's really upset about the fit of her denture or the look of her temporary appliance. And I'm just like, I disappointed another one. Oh God. And now then the spiral happens. Fuck, should I even be doing this stuff? This is too complex for me. And it's like you get into this downward spiral, and all of a sudden you're like, and something happens with one of your team and people are just having a hard go. And then all of a sudden you're like brushing with burnout. You're like, how many more years can I keep this
up? And it's hard to go to work.
This is like backbreaking work. Yeah. You get up in the morning.
Dreading it. The dread.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that the internal stuff, and for you listening, like the internal work is where it's at. And so even like when I entered, and I'm never afraid to talk about it, like when I entered therapy years ago, like I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know, like, is this going to be a good therapist or bad therapist? Or I am freaking not. You ever done it?
And it was burnout with dentistry that brought me to therapy. And I would say, it's interesting because it was exactly the same. I never even considered going to therapy before that. Also didn't know if it would help me. Didn't know, if I would gel with the therapist. Didn't really know what to expect. And back then, I mean, I'm, you know, still fairly fresh out. But back then, it wasn't really talked about, like burning out in dentistry and going to therapy. I feel like nowadays, in all industries, the stigma is not so much there anymore. But yeah, back then, and I wouldn't tell people, like I was embarrassed, not anymore, but so I've probably been on and off therapy for the whole 7 years. Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, could you even begin to imagine what you'd be doing right now if you didn't go?
I wouldn't be coping that well. I don't know what I'd be doing, but whatever it was, I wouldn't be doing it well. Right? Is that how you feel?
Same.
Probably the exact same thing, but just it would be a slog, a grind every day.
Every day. And it would, for me, it would manifest as like, if I didn't go to therapy and I didn't have good coping strategies or good tools in my toolbox, or I'd end up being more like super passive aggressive, afraid to make, you know, set boundaries, afraid to, I'd bark at my team or I'd bark at the patients. And even now, like I still can feel some tendencies boiling up sometimes, I catch them. And it's not denying the feelings. That's a whole different issue, but it's acknowledging them differently and like So with me, therapy was so huge in a sense of like you're able to objectify these different parts of your brain or the different emotions that come in. Like I can label this as like, oh, this is dumb anxiety mind trying to creep in and tell me some shit that's not true. Or it's like, hey, this is like little Frank shit. I always call it little Frank shit. Like this is some little Frank shit that's still festering that you need little to deal Frank. With. And catch, you need to, my therapist, I think we need to catch little Frank up on this. But what was therapeutic during the whole journey was just the acknowledgement of like, hey, this is why your brain thinks like this, or this is why your brain thinks like that. That was therapeutic, like the understanding side of it. So
yeah.
So I think if you're wondering like, oh my God, should I go to therapy?
Definitely.
Fuck yeah. It's definitely great. Well, I think everyone in healthcare
I completely agree.
I crazy completely ass job. Agree.
Everyone in healthcare. You
know, Dr. Sun, my crown still feels high. And I know you, and I love the choice of you ground it down and it's still high. And you're like, it's not even touching. Like,
the biopaper is, no, I can take I don't know the biopaper
out. I don't know what you did to me. What did you say? Like, I would have never have done that treatment if I knew insurance wasn't going to pay anything.
Is that what you get? Like, your patients say that to you? Oh.
No, not anymore. I did.
Wow.
Before, well, now I practice fee for service. Like, I don't have any ties to insurance. Yeah. So it's like, great. But I did, like, insurance denied it. So you must not have had to do it. Now you just want
oh,
money.
The distrust.
And like people pleaser mean in me is like, oh my God. You have difficult personalities. So it's a hard job.
And I think that for me, the people pleasing is huge as well. Like I really struggle when something goes wrong as well. There's a lot of self-blame and then the imposter syndrome kicks in. But I think at the start of my career, my number one problem that was leading to burnout was the inability to say no. So I kind of felt like, you know, I wanted to learn everything and everything was an opportunity to improve. And I wasn't really able to say no. And I think I just took too much on. And then that was the stressor.
Give me an example. Like, what would be like?
Well, because
an example of a patient doing
when
something.
When I started, I worked rural. So I worked in a country town that the nearest city was 15 hours away. And it was a country town of 10,000 people. Yeah.
That's rural.
10,000 people, no specialists. So if I started something, you better hope I was able to finish something because they would have to fly like 2 hours. And because it was so rural, it would cost them like, maybe a grand return just to fly 2 hours. So, I mean, that's maybe a bit of a unique situation.
No, that's everybody.
So I think also working so much. So some realizations that I had with therapy was maybe that I don't need to do what is societally normal, you know, like I don't need to do all the things, work all the hours. You know, I kind of felt like if I wasn't able to, that I was a failure.
Yeah. Like if you're not working really, really hard,
there's something wrong with you. Yeah. You're young.
What are you even
you're at
doing?
The start of your career. Like why?
Yeah,
you need to be working.
And that's not...
I couldn't cop it. And I felt like, well, you know, I think that was really hard for me. And I was very hard on myself with that. And I think that that's maybe something in dentistry that isn't talked about enough, that it's a very high stress job. And I think the regular working hours is a lot for a dentist if you're working back-to-back patients all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, let's say, I always, like, one of the funniest things are, like, there's been situations, yeah, with some of the stuff that I do, it'll have a patient that's not coping well mm-hmm. through treatment. And I tend to, like, put myself in the situation of, like, trying to help be a little bit of a coach or a little bit of a, like, you got this.
That's awesome.
But there's been times, like, I, like, get barked at by I had a patient, and the patient's, like, mom, and they're like, you did such a bad job. Like,
whoa.
They just said that. Like, you did such a bad job. I didn't think we paid all this money for this, you know, treatment.
That is
hard.
Like, that is harsh.
Wow. But I had to leave that room and go into the other room and be like, hey, Mrs. Jones, how are you? Great to see you. How are those kids? They doing good? Oh, I'm so happy. Let's get started on treatment,
okay?
Oh, my
God.
All right.
So real.
Nothing stressful here. Like, you have to, like, turn it on. And I'm so glad that you said now it's being talked about more. Because I think the first time I started hearing about, like, whether it was on, I think it was just on social media, but, like, I started hearing about, I don't know if you've heard of, like, Kyle Stanley. It was probably one of the first people around my age talking about mental health and dentistry and, like, mental fitness. And I just so freaking happy he started talking about that.
No, I haven't heard of
like,
him.
So when
was that?
Oh, he's got some good stuff.
When was that? When did he come on the scene?
I think, like, the first time. I feel like it's got to be, I hope I'm not thinking of it wrong, but it's got to be, like, 3-4 years he's been, like, talking about it at a high, like, mm-hmm. a big level and, like, creating, like, these, I feel like it was, like, pandemic
yeah.
times. He started, like, coming to the table, like, in a big way. So it's just, I like seeing that stuff. So,
yeah.
So you're doing in mm-hmm. and out of therapy, brushing with burnout, trying to figure out and navigate, like, and if you're listening, wondering, like, what to do, like, so, when you go through the internal work and you realize that you enjoy, like, there's certain little facets of dentistry that light you up and that's what you want to hone your career in on it. But, like, if you're in the alternative side of, in your case, like, and you're like, you know what, this isn't
lighting like, I've
up.
Tried, I've tried
and
all
like
the things.
What is that called again? The sun, not the sunset theorem. The sunk cost fallacy. The sunset. That's when the sun
on
is
your career,
and you leave, and you and you're like, fucking
see ya.
The sunset theorem. The sunk cost.
I think we should coin that. I think we should coin that for health professionals that keep brushing with burnout, that can't find that little nugget that lights them up. The sunset theorem is for you.
This is going to get published. You're going to Google sunset theorem and it says Z sun left dentistry, the sunset theorem. And that is the title of this first podcast.
I think that might be maybe a little bit niche, but. We can workshop it.
but what's important about that is that it's okay.
Yeah.
Like you're finding what's lighting you up to have this, you know, to have the good stuff in life and enjoy and being, you know, authentic and true to yourself. So that's what's so awesome about Aww. You doing that.
Thanks, Frank. And yeah, I think that both our journeys, they reveal that, you know, if you've had a brush with burnout, there's so many different things that can come of that and they're all okay. You know, when you have that brush,
Absolutely. You
do have to pivot. And a lot of the time it's the internal work first, but a lot of the time you do have to make changes. You know, the internal work alone sometimes isn't enough. Like if you are still doing the same things and putting yourself within the same situations with a very high stress and, you know, it's hard to completely move on from that burnout. I think at some level, there's still tension. So I guess, yeah, whichever way that leads you is okay. And I think with careers like dentistry, it's funny because I'm pretty open about the fact that I don't want to be a dentist. And when people ask me what I do and if I like it, I'm brutally honest. And my friends are like, they're like, we're actually going to be sad when you transition out of dentistry because we're going to miss people being shocked at how honest and candid you are. They're like, do you like your job? I'm like, no.
No. So you haven't been invited to university to the pre-dental students to like
to give motivational to chats? No. But funny that you say yeah. that, because we sometimes get dental students who work with us as dental assistants, and they say to me, you should come teach at uni. You should be a tutor. And I'm like, fuck no. I'll be telling everyone, don't do this job.
Leave while you can. Cut your losses. Go now. I don't know. What would I do?
Anything. Anything. But it's also good to acknowledge that it's not an easy thing to transition, because we have a very unique skill set.
Absolutely.
And it's not as transferable.
And you can make a good living, but what I'm sure you realize as well as I do is that does not mean nearly as much as your day-to-day
experience,
like enjoyment.
100%.
Like money does not matter if you're not
that's
happy.
It.
God, that's so cliche. If you like what you do, you ain't going to work a day of your life.
That's it.
It's like,
amen.
I don't know. I still work. But so I want to say thank you, you know, like just being a part of this conversation and being as open as you are. I love it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I want to continue talking to you about this. Because I probably have like 74 more questions to ask you, but I want to continue talking to you about this again. But if you're listening, I hope there's been something that resonates with you about this or something relatable. In the upcoming episodes of The Stress of Smiles, I want to review some really easy turn it on Monday tactics that can help you feel safer in your environment at work, and not like safety, like physical safety, but just emotional safety. Like, let's talk a little bit about boundaries. Let's talk about patient expectation management. And I'll give you a quick preview on that. Like, if a patient's like, okay, doc, I think I'm going to do dentures. And I'm like, okay, that's great. But let's picture your leg is removed and I sneak into my broom closet and I get a broom out and I'm going to just duct tape it to your leg. That's a denture. With pants on, you look great. But I'm going to ask you to run. No. You're not going to be able to do anything.
Great
so
analogy.
So that's a denture. And it's, you know, when I'm brutally honest with them like that, like, and I set the stage, then I'm like, oh yeah, you're going to do great. Dentures are fine. But
that's huge.
I don't know. I've gotten so aggressive with patients on the front end. And that's what I want to discuss at the next episode, is like, just how aggressive is aggressive enough to like really display to the patient, like where we're at as like a healthcare provider.
Managing expectations, like, is huge.
This is what I think is going to happen in an objective way. Yeah. So big. So, well, thank you, Dr.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Frank.
For joining and sharing.
It's been an honor. Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
I I truly appreciate it.